One of the things that we looked at was maintaining positive energy. We looked at the four energy states. Low positive is where you're calm and easygoing. That's the place to be. It's where you want to be before you get ready to perform. In other words, if you're going to have to step up here in a few minutes, you want to be in the low positive so you can shift over into the high positive. Low negative is the absolute worst place to be. It's where some of people felt here lately and going through the flu and stuff like that. It's where you don't want to do anything. Your attitude's bad. You don't care. You know, the world can just go down the tubes. It's all right. You know, who cares? All right. High negative is where your adrenaline's pumping a lot of times. That's where you're sometimes you're operating out of anger or frustration. And you're getting things done. Like I say, you're chopping a lot of wood. Under those conditions, maybe, okay? Any energy is better than none. A high positive, though, is where you want to be for performance. It's the energy without the tension. It's the joy in the performance itself. It's having a good time doing what you're doing. And it's not the ideal performance state of the white moment, but it's the doorway to that. And it is the best level you can consistently maintain. And we also looked at attitude on our little circle here. That's different techniques that are involved in getting you to the high positive and high performance. Emotion follows thought. It isn't the thought follows emotion. Emotion follows thought. And you know that's why the scripture holds us accountable for our emotions. What you want to do is you want to learn to develop a positive attitude. You want to recognize that top performance is a result of being in the positive emotional state. Positive emotion follows positive thought. And the essence of mental toughness here is my attitudes and emotions are intimately connected, and I assume full responsibility for my attitudes. Okay, key line. I assume full responsibility for my attitudes. You didn't make me mad. I allowed myself to get mad. You didn't drive me out of the house. I allowed myself to sink to the attitude where I went storming out of the house. You didn't put me in a state of depression. I allowed myself to sink into a state of depression. See, it's on the negative side, you got to assume full responsibility. On the other hand, if you think that having a great attitude all the time is going to result in something else making you happy, then you better think again, because that isn't how it works. Positive emotions are a result of a positive decision to have positive emotions. I've always said, if you're dependent upon circumstances for your attitude to be up, then most of the time your attitude is going to be in the tank. Because circumstances generally are there to be overcome. Then we looked at motivation, developing purpose and passion in your life. And everybody's got to have that purpose. If you don't have a reason why you're doing something, you're not going to do it very long or very well very long. So great performances are not motivated by external factors. See, but by internal passion, by the joy of the performance itself. Okay, and what motivates you to start performing doesn't matter that much. It's what motivates you to keep performing. What motivates you in the dark moment, the day that you don't feel like it. You know, the day that the bed seems to be a nice, comfortable place to be. The night that it's just kind of cold and stormy outside, but you should be out your door. See, it's those times that you need to have that passion in your life to pull you through the dark moments. You know, that is regard with marriage relationships, parent-to-child relationships, on the job, in the assembly, fellowship with Christ, all of those things. So mental toughness is the ability to summon that internal motivation necessary for being at one's best. Got to be able to call for it. So one of the little exercises you can do to try to help yourself figure out what your passion is ask yourself, what do I want to be in 5 years? You know, for example, do I want to be in heaven or do I want to be in hell? That's just, you can start there if that helps, okay? If I had only 6 months to live, that's even closer, isn't it? How would I want to spend those 6 months? You know, what do I, if I only had 6 months to live, what would be the things that I would do right now? You know, what are the stuff that I'd set aside and what would be the stuff that I would do? And it helps you determine what your passion is. You know, I have a little present positive affirmative. My passion is writing. Okay, in the past I've said that writing is slave labor. Okay, but now my passion is writing. See, and so there's things like that you have to work on. I cleared it with Lana first. It's okay. She said you go ahead and you can say writing is your passion. All right. Am I deriving any satisfaction out of what I'm doing right now? Say, do I enjoy doing what I'm doing? It's nice to be in the position where every day you get to do what you want to do. If they didn't pay me to do what I do, would I still do it? Hey, Ken's here. He's excited to be here. How about that? I think we know the answer to that one, huh, Ken? If I were to write my own obituary right now, what would be my most significant accomplishment? Is it enough? Okay. I mean, have I really accomplished squat in my life? You know what I mean? Sometimes they call it the male midlife crisis. And what that is a lot of times the guy has run the calculation and said, you know, I had all these dreams of what I was going to accomplish when I was 21. And now here I am 56. And what do we got done on that? See, about zero. So, sometimes a Christian has to really stop and think, though, how many people he's positively affected. When you're a Christian and you're influencing people for Christ, that counts in a huge way. And sometimes the person starts out 21, you don't have a focus as to what's important. But knowing that the things that you're doing for the kingdom of God, as they last for eternity, that makes all the difference. Tonight we get to look at visualization, see, and what you see is what you get. See, it's interesting to me that all these guys that start working on positive motivation and, you know, the secrets of winning, certainly they're going to come to visualization, the ability to see. So it's kind of about the 3 o'clock position on your pie circle there as we're kind of working our way around clockwise. I can tell the guys that did this are right-handed because, you know, if a left-hander did it, I'd have done it counterclockwise, but they're doing it right-handed, so we'll go along with them. So, what you see is what you get. Now, there's some strategies here that you got to keep in mind when you're starting to put some things together. So, you got to use visualization to provide energy and relaxation through control of your emotional states. See, in other words, these things kind of tend to build on one another. Now, you know, your emotional state is going to allow you to make certain visualizations. See, if your attitude's bad and your Eeyore side showed up big time that day, it's going to be pretty hard for you to think of any performance stuff. So sometimes you have to make a few adjustments in your emotional state before you can get over here to visualization, right? But visualization improves performance through mental rehearsal. Okay, now we'll kind of work more on that as we go through the slide presentation tonight. But see, mental rehearsal is what you practice. What you mentally practice is what you will perform. So, and visualization also improves memory and enhances creativity, the ability to identify and solve problems. Okay, so if you don't want to get older, just work a lot on visualization. You know, you keep that memory sharp. And you'll be creative and you won't have to do Sudokus. You can do other kinds of things, you know, to keep yourself going here. You know, Proverbs 23:7, verse A, says, as he thinks within himself, so he is. Just one of those basic scriptural truths. Everybody has an inner picture of themselves and they're going to act in accordance with that picture. And that's why Revelation closes, anyone filthy, let him be filthy still. If anyone's righteous, let him be righteous still. See, is who you are is who you're going to be. That's why it's really hard to get these guys to make the deathbed confession, see, and all of a sudden have an instant transformation in their life. You know, they've lived 82 years and run counter to God, and then all of a sudden they have a heart attack and they're laying there. You think that they're going to change their mental thought processes in the last 20 seconds of their lives? Doesn't work that way. See, who you are. See, let him who's filthy, let him be filthy still. On the other hand, if you're a righteous individual and, and you spend a lot of your time praising and thanking God, that's how you're going to go out, is praising and thanking God. See, it's who you are on the inside. And it's going to come out in the outer man. Now, thing is, the inner man can be changed, which is the whole purpose of Christianity. And evoking then mental images leads to physical changes which directly impact our performance. For example, if I picture myself doing something that I really like to do, you know, it's, well, I really like to run downhill. Okay, and so, you know, it's nice, you know, if you can get a spot where, you know, the last several miles of your run are downhill. That's a lot of fun, and so that's nice. It's relaxing. It's and it's a good place to be. So if I need a mental relaxation image, then I can picture myself running downhill. And I always like to think about finishing up crossing some green grass and, you know, nice drink of water out of a garden hose someplace, you know, the same stuff they use to make bottled water. But see, just even thinking about those things, see, produces, you know, physical responses. And, you know, if you hook up a set of electrodes to me right now while I'm going through this stuff here and picturing myself on that nice downhill run, you know, the actual electrodes would be picking up the fact that my brain is reliving that nice, relaxing moment. And so that's the key. See, if you go back and you develop some of these pictures, and you go to that relaxation moment, that'll actually produce these physical changes, and you will actually, for example, relax. On the other hand, see, if you want a high-performance moment, just think of terms of running uphill, see? And, you know, enjoying, you know, charging one of those hills, see? That's, and, you know, the tremendous feeling you get when you come to the top of one of those, you know, like Rocky, you know? I always got a kick out of I think it was Rocky IV, the one where he did it against the Russian. And of course they got him pictured out there in the woods of Siberia, hauling stuff through the snow and everything, getting ready for the training. And when he finishes, you know, of course they got him on the picture of a mountaintop. Now what mountain they had him actually on was the top of Grand Teton. And I'm pretty sure he helicoptered up there. I don't think he ran up there, but hey, it's a great picture, you know, of getting there. So the chemistry, see, of billions of cells in our body change in response to what they call a phantasm. See, something's only imagined. In other words, one of the things that the studies have all shown is that the human body or the human brain actually has these whole section of the brain devoted to pictures. And or visualization center. See, the biggest section of the human brain is devoted to visualization. Now, we understand why God did that because, see, God wants us to operate by faith rather than by sight. So he's going to set aside a whole section of the brain where these faith pictures can reside. And so that the positive faith performance can result. They call them phantasms, and something that's only imagined. So the scripture, for example, is going to tell the Christian that as Christ is, so is the Christian in this world. The Christian then is to actually visualize himself as Christ to this generation. That's a phantasm that actually becomes reality. It begins in the faith center. That's the idea. And so you can create all kinds of pictures. You can create yourself a picture rowing across a lake. You know, it's calm, one of those days where there's just not a breath of wind, and the trees that are reflected in the water look like the trees right on the beach. And it's just really one of those nice days. The only movement of the water is the slight ripples that you make when you're rowing through it, see? And so you're just kind of enjoying the day out there in the boat. Or a picnic in the park, you know, where you got a couple birds twittering, and it's one of those days where everybody else left Bozeman, and so you're the only person in the park, and, you know, nice day. See, I mean, there's all kinds of pictures like that. You can picture yourself, you know, charging down the field, you know, with the victory in your hand. You can picture yourself sitting down at a hardball meeting and going through that in a positive and a victorious manner. So many things you can do. A tremendous Bible study where you can actually see the lights pop on in people's heads. See, there's so many positive pictures there that you can create out of memories that you already have. But when you do it, your body actually changes in response to those pictures. So what you see is what you get. Each internal energy state then has its corresponding mental imagery. And you can move from state to state by evoking the proper imagery through visualization. See, visualization then is another tool. That's why it's on your pie chart there, for controlling your emotional state and thus controlling your performance. Now, once again, if you have no intention of performing, none of this is going to do you any good anyway. You know, if you're content at some low level of performance, existing, just making it through life, making it through the week so you can get to the weekend, and through the weekend so you can get to the week, and week to the weekend, and weekend to the week. And if that's what you're going through, then none of this is going to make any difference. But if you're interested in some high level performance of making your life count for Christ, then you're interested in these types of tools. So here's your kind of a little set of squares here. On the low negative, you have images of yourself depressed, afraid, tired, hopeless, victimized. Now, you know, a lot of people live down there in that section where that's how they tend to view themselves. And so it's kind of their default position. Like, no one's ever going to love me. Nobody's ever going to care. Nobody's ever going to pay attention to me. You know, I have my dreams, but they're never going to be realized. See, nothing good ever happens to me. Good happens to other people, but nothing good ever happens to me. See, that's a low negative. And you actually know people that picture themselves that way. The high negative is image of person violated, seeking revenge, getting even. You know, the old saying is, don't get even, get ahead. You know, you got to be on top of that. You know, the other guy's always out to get you. So, you know, check your driving habits. Okay. That'd be one way to tell, you know. You know, who are you? See, are you an angry type of person? See, do you do things, you know, get upset and sometimes, you know, you got to be careful. Okay. We know that, you know, the financial situation in the country is pretty challenging. And we know it's been deliberately generated. See, I always remember the statement by Charles Lindbergh Sr. You know, he was a representative from the state of Minnesota upon the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. He made this statement. He said, from now on, depressions will be scientifically created by the moneyed trust. See, in other words, he knew that they knew how to do it. And so that's what's going on. Now, you can be angry about that and feel like there's a lot of things being taken away from you unjustly, and all that would be true. But see, that's not a very good motivation. So you don't want to have a high negative image of yourself. You want to be over there in the low positive images of yourself, relaxed. You know, I don't even like the word bored personally. You know, I just think relaxed. Unhurried, pleasant, well, not necessarily powerless.
Those go over on the other side.
Oh, okay, yeah, they do. They like they kind of shifted, didn't they? Yeah, unhurried. See, bored should go with a low negative, shouldn't it? And powerless should go with the low negative. Yeah, that doesn't. Yeah. See, what happened, this is a slide presentation that Luke put together on his computer, and then we shifted it over, and I didn't catch it when I was going through trying to, you know, edit it. You know, if you ever tried to edit anything, proofread it, I still got to get one of those things and put it up here someplace, Cliff. Can you read this? Yeah, that's great. Bored and powerless should go over there in the low negative. I was saying, that doesn't make any sense there with a low positive. So we'll work on that. Low positives, relaxed, unhurried, calm, pleasant, easygoing. See, that's, you know, it's a good place to be. And It's the place where a person wants to spend as much time as possible. If you're, you know, that's what I try to do when I'm driving. You know, I try to relax, have a good time when I'm driving. You know, notice the deer out there alongside the road and, you know, wave at them. Hi, nice deer. Thanks for keeping your side of the highway, you know, and just, and, you know, have a good time with it. It is kind of interesting how that works. You know, I was on my way to Great Falls here, and we had a pretty good-sized snowstorm there in October. And I didn't have the snow tires yet, and I was going through the Wolf Creek Canyon. And I was coming around a corner and lost control of the car. And so, you know, I kind of calmly steered the car in the direction where it needed to go. So I'm looking at the concrete divider. And then so we decide we need to change directions, and we get the steer out of that. And over here, you know, we're looking at the barrel pit and then back at the divider. And, you know, we straighten it out. And I thought about it afterwards, you know. That was actually kind of fun, you know. you know, and of course, what that tells you, some people just spend too much time on the road is what that tells you. But, you know, I mean, Jim Mitchell and I had a similar situation one time. We kind of, you know, did a 360 or 540 spin or something like that, and we got done with that. And I said, "How you doing, Jim?" He says, "Fine." I said, "So am I. You know, let's go on." You know, wasn't any problem, was it, Jim? We were good to.
We should get out and at least check the tires.
Yeah, well, I didn't think so. We just kept going. but hey, you know, you just got to be relaxed when you're doing things. See, because that wasn't any time to perform. You know, I wasn't preaching then, so. Hey, you stay relaxed. So you stay in a relaxed mode as much as you possibly can. Because a high positive, see, there's your image of where you're best. See, you can tell harm should be over in the high negative, okay? You're superb, you've got a focused performance, you're unrestrained, yet masterful, you're in control. See, that's you've got to actually visualize yourself in that position. You know, whether it's everything's clicking. You know, you go back to a time where you had one of those good moments, the day that went well. You know, how were you, if you were to step back and look at yourself, how did you look that day? See, how were things going? See, what kind of expression was on your face? What was going through your mind? You know, and if you can rehearse that, see, and get to those pictures, it'll really help you. Thoughts or comments here on this? So changing emotions through imagery is nothing new. See, sometimes people say, I don't know, you know, this is kind of new agey. Well, writers do it all the time. See, they put vivid scenes to induce feelings in the readers. For example, Luke says his sister, that would be Lori, reading mysteries. You know, I mean, you know, Lori, and she'd be sitting there on the couch, she'd be reading the mystery. Boy, she'd be experiencing everything in that mystery. The writers evoke those types of mysteries. See, you've had experiences like that. Maybe you're playing a video game or whatever. But see, the vivid scenes, when they're created, they actually produce those emotions. Same way with a movie. You know, I still, you know, if I was to watch Braveheart again, I remember watching Braveheart the first time I actually got to see it on the big screen, which was really rare. And so, you know, when you've got the big screen in front of you, I mean, and you're in the first row, it kind of overwhelms you. See, and I remember being out there in that battlefield, and the British are shooting the arrows at us good patriotic Scots. And, I mean, those arrows are falling all around me. I don't know how I came out of that battle not being killed with all those arrows coming down, but, I mean, I was there. And see, just even going back and talk about it, my mind goes back there, and I'm actually kind of ducking arrows up here. I don't know if you noticed that, but I, you know, that's what I was doing, was ducking arrows. You see, these things actually, you know, it's commonplace to us for images to produce emotions. When you see yourself in some motion pictures, see television, even more involving because they can display images as well as invoke them. I don't know what Luke means by his infamous crying. I wanted to leave that up there so you guys remind me to ask him. what he means by that, because I'm not sure. His infamous crying. I have to check that out. I don't see any siblings here tonight, so they might know. But you can create your own mental movies, see, for controlling your internal energy. See, that's the key. See, you can actually go back and create your own pictures. If you want to move into the high positive, if you've kind of created the mental picture of yourself, then you can get there. You have to make your own imagery because you know yourself and you know how you respond to certain scenes. For example, standing on the top of Grand Teton, trying to raise this victory signal probably isn't really appealing to some of you women who are thinking how cold it is up there and how hard the wind's blowing. See, so you're going to have some other picture, see. Everybody's a little bit individual on that. Know how you respond to certain scenes. Some years ago, the family was together and we watched the remake of The Father of the Bride. And I never know who the stars are, so, some white-haired guy was the father of the bride. Can't remember, Stay something or another. Yeah, okay, that's who it was. And I don't know what the lady's name was. But anyhow, I remember, when they're doing the movie, of course, the bride, the big moment was the bride's coming in, all this has come together, and finally, the wedding's taking place. And the picture is that the groom, or the bride's coming in with her dad, and she's got the special tennis shoes on that her dad's tennis shoe company had made for her. And she's coming in, and the picture is taken from right here, right at the head of the aisle. And after the movie is over, I thought about it, and I realized, that's how I see most weddings. See, most of the weddings that I've been a part of, I've been standing here watching them come in. So that's the picture, the view that I... So when I think of a wedding, I think of a dad and a bride coming in, that's the picture I see. And I got to realizing, a lot of you have never had that picture. You've never been in that position to see it that way. See, so every one of us is going to have a little bit different sets of pictures here that are going to be the things that our mental movies, the things that are going to motivate us. And you need to develop at least three strong images. Emphasize strong. See, in other words, a movie where you can push the play button when you need to get to the certain performance state. You need one to be relaxed. Now, don't tell me that you're not the type of person who ever needs to be relaxed. Don't tell me that, okay? Because you know yourself, there's times you got something big coming up, you got a situation you got to deal with, there's somebody you got to talk to about something, or you need to explain to your husband why there's certain expenditures in the minus column. Now don't tell me, that there aren't going to be moments that you need to be able to have a button that you can play that'll get you over to the relaxed mode. Okay, so that's one you got to have. Another one, energized. You got to have a movie there. You can push the button, and the music is beating at about 160, per minute, and it's got you in the mood where you are motivated to get things done. See? And I don't know if you want to play a video of yourself doing aerobic workouts, but I mean whatever movie there that you can develop. Now you may have to take your movie, your personal movie, from several different aspects of your life to get the one that's going to get you to the energy state. See, but you need to develop that movie. You need to be able to push that play button. And then you need to have one that's your finest hour, where you are on the top of the game. That was a time when it was all rolling. Pull that movie out. Once again, that may be a composite of a couple things. But you need to develop that movie and be able to have it right there on your stack of mental DVDs where you can pop that thing in and play it. Because there's times you're going to need that ideal performance state and you want to be able to call on it. So if you have that mental movie that you can review, then it'll really help. See, each image must be strengthened and intensified by involving all your senses so that when you summon it, the effect is overwhelming. See, in other words, when you develop this movie here, you've got to go over it, see, and you've got to make it better every time. And see, the place where you start a lot of times is things that you see. But you want to add to it things you hear. And if you really want to make that movie powerful, things you smell. See, the strongest memories are always tied to smell. See, something, see, there's something about the nose aspects of a human being, you know, things that they smell will evoke the strongest memories. And see, some people, you know, you ask them, well, what do you like about this season of the year? Well, I like the smell of the kitchen, you know, when the turkey's cooking. See, you know, you think there's things like that. So if you're developing your movie, see, and you're really serious about this, moving into a relaxation state or a high performance state, or the ideal performance, see, you want to spend some time on this. And put some smells in there. Gets really interesting when you do that. You know, try to see your movie in color. See, some people can see in color pretty well. Some people can't. But, you know, try to see your movie in color. Try to hear the sounds that were going on. Try to bring some of the smells and some of the things you were feeling. How that all works. If you can do that, and you can play that video at a performance time or in time you need to relax, boy, it's powerful. Now, remember, they got this from studying the sports figures. See, because they start asking the sports figures, hey, what do you do? What do you do when you want your relaxation image? See, let's say we got a baseball player. And, you know, he's on deck. That is, he's not batting, but he's going to be next up. And he's swinging a few, stroking the bat around a little bit like that. He wants to be relaxed at that point. So what sort of image does he go through? See, what kind of movie can he play while he's swinging the planing, the training club, so to speak? What can he do? What kind of video can he play in his mind so that he's perfectly relaxed when he steps to the plate? Luke said that a time that he had that he thinks is after he had completed his cancer treatments and gone through everything that he had. You know, as you recall, John Adams, nice guy that he is, gave him a bucket to throw up in with a target painted in the bottom just so he would... So it wouldn't miss. And, you know, that was John's way of trying to, you know, encourage Luke along a little bit. But, you know, to go through that ordeal of the chemotherapy and all those sort of things, see, for him to come through it, to come through and to be cancer-free, then he got to go to Chico Hot Springs, south of Livingston with Julie. And that was a time for him, you know, that a lot of the weight was off, you know, by God's grace, he'd survived the chemo. It looked like he had cancer whipped and was going to be able to begin putting his preaching and teaching life back together again. And so that's an image that he can pull out and when he wants to go back to a relaxed time. Imagine yourself in that setting, see, and get a good picture of it. See, what is it for you? See, when was one of those moments that it was just relaxed, it was a good time, and you'd go there again? Oh, and again, and again, and again. It's worth taking some time on this. See, involve all the senses. See, the details, the smell, the feel, the hear, the touch, taste. They work those in. See, when you summon that image, your body chemistry will actually change, and you will relax. Let me put it this way. Is stress a problem? Okay. Is stress a problem? Well, How do you get out of stress? Well, you learn to relax. See, so this is a powerful way of getting over into the relaxed mode. If you're relaxed, you're not stressed. So if anybody's interested in knowing how to alleviate stress, see, what if you put prayer in this? See, what if you picture yourself walking through one of your favorite sets of woods, you know, and you can feel the trees and, you know, just kind of a little bit of dark, but the light shining through just right. And you can actually smell the woods and, you know, you can kind of hear the kind of leaves and stuff underneath you, the pine needles underneath you and you know, a little bit of the mud that gets on your shoe when you're walking down that trail and you're praying to God and you're giving it all to Him. See, if you bring that all in, you'll relax. Your body chemistry will actually show it. How about your energizing image? Okay. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Time. Get on it. Team. You know, let's play. Okay, you got to think of something that pumps you up. Makes you want to go. Makes you want to keep going. So you got to go back to a spot where you really enjoyed it. And a spot where your performance was high. Sometimes they're directly physical. You know, one of my finest moments, one of the tops, was a day that I was 16 years old and I was stacking hay for the neighbor, and a big thunderstorm developed in the west, and the neighbor wanted to get that hay in, so we stacked 500 bales of hay in 3 hours before the thunderstorm hit. Now, if you ever stood underneath an elevator in the heat of an August day, you know, handling 50-pound bales when you're 16 years old, they have to handle 500 of them in 3 hours. See, if you've ever never done anything like that, you don't have a clue as to what that means, okay? But, you know, that was one of the finest hours, see? And I, you know, picture myself stacking that hay, you know, getting those corners up, you know, you know, stacking that hay, just, you know, ducking the bales as they're coming in, you know, and keeping it going. That's a lot of work. I was so tired that night that I got up. I was staying with the neighbor, and I got up the next morning, and there were a bunch of apple crates in the corner, and I had stacked them in my sleep for a quarter of a haystack. So, yeah. see that's a picture you can bring back. See, I mean. There's other moments, see, where you can think of yourself as having maybe a high mental moment. I have another one, you know, when I was in college, you know, we were taking chemical engineering thermodynamics. You know, I worked a bunch of problems the night before and did a bunch of my homework. You know, I was carrying 26 and a half credits and working 20 hours a week and writing for the Exponent. And so I was a busy boy, so, you know, I did, you know, about an hour and a half worth of problems just for funsies. Came in, took the test, finished in 30 minutes, turned my test in to the prof, and I walked out. And next day I came to class, nobody else even finished the test. And I got 100. And Doc Berg said, he said, "How'd you do that?" He said, "You did the test as fast as I did." And he said, "I made the test." And I said, "I don't know. I just..." In one of those moments, I guess, you know, I was in the zone. You know, that's one of the expressions for it, in the zone. See, sometimes you've had moments like that. See, and those are good things to stick in your video. See, that you summon, that you call on. They help you. Another energizing moment, see, would be the debate I had with Chuck Dowdy. You know, it was, you know, in the words of John Mark, it was basically like a prize fight. You know, I mean, that's what it felt like going in, see. You know, I was energized. I was ready to go. I mean, I was basically saying, "Hey, Chuck, if you want to rumble, you know, come on, let's rumble. You know, if you want to get in the ring with the big boys, come on." You know, that was as my attitude going in. And I was energized. You know? So, but see, your video, see, it's got to be your video. And your experiences are so different than mine that you got to take it and you got to make it your own. See, often it isn't sight so much as sound that energizes. See, sometimes it's, say, the music in the background, you know. The, you know, just sort of everything beautiful type of music or something, see, that's, you know, got a good beat going or something like that that's, see, got you going, see. Something like that can really help. Something to get your legs jumping and your heart pumping and all the things that go with it. See, those are very important. You need to be energized. This is where you go. I mean, did you ever have a situation where you walked in and you got this big project in front of you and your mind, your body kind of go, ugh. Okay. What are you going to need? Because did you ever notice the work doesn't go away? I mean, the longer you delay, the more it just stays there. Okay. So it's really important to be able to summon that Energizing Bunny video. But I saw a deal in the paper. The Energizer Bunny, he's that's the Ever Ready, right? Yeah, the Energizer Bunny. He's 20 years old this month. Okay, so I'd say he's doing pretty well for 20, wouldn't you? I mean, that rabbit is going, see? Well, you know, you can paint yourself with floppy ears and going and going and going. See, I mean, those are all images that you can... Hey, it's your movie. It's your movie. You can make yourself do a lot of those things. See, you always wanted to be a movie director anyway, right? Always wanted to create. How you get to? See, whether your energy comes from Toby Mac, Jet Fighters, or some other source, develop it. I remember being in Kalispell. I was doing a meeting up there, and got there a little bit early. There's a little airport on the south side of Kalispell, and there's kind of a park nearby. You guys know exactly where that's at. And so I was, I don't know if it was the county fair or the Western Montana fair or whatever it was they had there, but a pretty good sized crowd there. And so the National Guard guys came over from Great Falls to put on a little air show for them. So I'm sitting there trying to eat my peanut butter sandwich. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, to me, come these jets. See, and they come in, and they come right over the field, you know, coming in from the south, come right over the field, and they get right over the field, and they just turn and go straight up, you know, and they pour the jet fuel to those rockets, and that, I mean, the ground just shook and thundered, you know, and those jets were going up like that. See, and I never forget, I felt like I was right there in the jet blast, is what I felt like, see, because you're really close to the airport there at Kalispell, the little airport in town. You ever flown into that one, Mel? The one on the south side of Kalispell? Yeah. Yeah, Mel's landed there. Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of a neat little airport. Oh, they got towers at South End. Oh, okay. 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 Great. Oh, yeah, they got those radio stations out there, right. Good thing they got lights on top of them. But, see, whatever you're using here, you know, to pull back on the throttle and give yourself that energy in your video, then use it. Your video. See, you vividly recreate the scene and you'll actually feel it in your physical energy. See, all of a sudden, that insurmountable pile of work that nobody could get done, Energizer, Bunny, Rabbit, you... you get in and you get going on it. And just amazing how much you can get done if you're consistent and persistent at it. Then you can get your finest hour image. See, when were you most memorably in the ideal performance state? See, for me, most of my ideal performance states have to do with times I'm preaching or teaching. You know, and preaching is different than teaching. You know, you've got a little bit different. I mean, they're combined. So you're teaching when you're preaching, and you're preaching when you're teaching. But there's a little bit difference in emphasis. See, and some of those ideal performance states come from me where I know the audience was in hand, so to speak. I remember speaking at the Lake Mount Church of Christ in Lisbon, Ohio. It was at the tail end of a Weekend for Christ meeting that the Pleasant View Church of Christ used to hold. And there were, you know, 600-700 people there. And, you know, I remember, you know, the prayer I opened up with when I was quoting out of Isaiah 28. And I want to remember, you know, how I set the audience up a little bit and then, you know, drove the message home. See, I remember that. I remember speaking at the Kaimichi Clinic in about 1980. And about 6,000 guys there. And that was a really noisy crew, the Kaimichis, if you've ever been to those guys down in Honobi, Oklahoma. backwoods from Tallahassee, you know. And but when I got the tape and replayed it back, see, it was so quiet in there that you could actually hear the birds that were flying in the open tent cheeping because the audience was so locked in on the message. See, those are ideal performance states for me. Now, see, everyone else has got to have their own ideal performance state. I may have had other ones. I remember walking into the furnace refinery one Lord's Day morning. I was running the whole copper plant in Great Falls. I was 22 years old. I remember walking in and telling the foreman, "Today we start up the furnace my way." And because they'd had trouble the day before, they just about lost it. And they said, "You want us to start it your way?" And I said, "Yeah." They said, "Well, before we do it, we want you to sign a paper saying you take full responsibility for anything that happened." I said, "Sure, I'll sign it." See, because I'd been up studying that furnace, you know, I'd been up there where it was so hot that my coat was smoking, you know, from the heat coming out of there. I had thermocouples stuck in that thing, you know, to figure out what was going on in that furnace. See, and I figured I knew. So I said, "No, we started my way, boys. I'll take full responsibility. Sign right here." And they said, "Okay, you're the boss, so we'll do it." Worked perfectly. So they wrote the procedure down. As long as the smelter stayed in existence, that was the procedure they used from that point on to start that furnace. See, there's all kinds of different types of ideal performance states that you can go back and create. You get to put on your video. You get to cut and paste. So you get to bring all kinds of different things into your video. See, where you were at your game. You were on top. It was the day that everything, every door opened up for you. Everything that you wanted to accomplish. That was the day your kids behaved perfectly. You know, I mean, whatever it was, see, it's your ideal performance state. And you got to think about that. Now, what you got to do, you got to remember, is you got to intensify these things a little bit. You got to go back. You got to go over them. See, for especially guys, a lot of those peak performances are from sports. You know, that was the day that the tail from the snowmobile was the highest in the air. You know what I mean? That was the day that the elk was shot at 650 yards away. You know, I mean, all kinds of different things like that. See, there's so many things you bring in. But sports, see, sometimes has those vivid moments because it's so identifiable. See, the advantage that sports has is it's got boundaries on it. The opposing team wears a different kind of uniform, you know, things like that. You know, those make big differences. See, in real life, that doesn't happen. There's a lot of ingredients there for an identifiable peak performance moment in sports. See, whatever your finest hour, recall it in every detail, with every sense. See, etch it into your consciousness. Go back over it. Drive it in. Have some fun with it. Now, like I say, if you want to take a couple different moments and put them together into one, you can do that. See, imagery controls your response to reality. See, I am excited to be here tonight. And I am excited to be anywhere I have the opportunity to share the Word of God. And I know you guys kind of joke about it, but you know, it's actually one of the things that I do. to make sure as much as possible that I'm on the top of my game, so to speak, when I come to deliver a presentation. See, I don't want to come in any time and do a halfway job for people that have taken time out of their lives and are trying to get some spiritual hope and win some spiritual victories and maybe turn their life around and maybe some of them even become Christian. I don't want to come in with a half-baked, halfway presentation when there's that much on the line. And so I want to be excited to be here. See, it's part of my movie. It's part of my movie. I am excited to be here. I also like to be relaxed in one manner of speaking, so we're having a good time. But I also want to be able to move into a point if I really need to drive something home. See, if I need to finish in such a way that the audience is out of their chair, marching out the door, seeing what part of the world they can conquer, then that's how I want to finish that too. See, but those are all movies. Whatever it is in your life. You know, I've been preaching for over 35 years, so naturally that's a big part of my life. Some of the best Bible studies over the years, some of the great ones, you know, some of the immersions have taken place. See, those are all part of my video. Your imagery is going to control how you feel. And when I get to relive those memories, say, I'm excited to be here. You use visualization of the positive to remove the negative. See, sometimes, you know, when you know what's positive, when you know how it works, you reemphasize that. That'll get you past the negative. Sometimes you have to identify your negative influences. If you got a wrong kind of stroke on your golf game and you don't know what it is, you know, have somebody take a video of you, and so you can go back and look and compare it to the pros and say, uh-huh. But, see, once you figure out how to do it right, you focus on how to do it right. You don't focus on what you were doing wrong. See, the top athletes use the positive imagery to correct their form after a mistake. You know, the guy misses a free throw. You know, if Tiger Woods was to miss an important putt. See, I mean, they go back and say, okay, if I missed a bad, you know, made a bad putt in hole 13, Tiger's not out yet. Okay, when he's playing and he's healthy. I mean, everybody else is looking off over their shoulder because here comes Tiger Woods. Okay, and but what's he do? Well, if he makes a mistake, he just comes back. Next hole, every swing is going to be perfect. That's how it is. In life, that's how you correct a negative. That's how you get past it. That's the reason for the grace of God. God's willingness to cover our mistakes so that we can get up and we can perform to the maximum now. That's what God wants. You know, He doesn't want a bunch of people motivated by guilt. You know, people motivated by guilt, they'll do things, but they won't do it very well. See, and the technique is to replay the positive incident mentally, see, but to change it as if it had happened perfectly. See, in other words, if you got a little correction, you know, we'll practice mentally the proper swing. You see, the result of this positive image is that it triggers the same feelings and emotions as if the original had been executed perfectly. That's why you get to cut and paste a little bit. Your brain handles images, whether actually perceived or summoned from memory, in much the same way. See, after a while, I think I really was at Sterling with William Wallace. I think I really was. I think I was in the crowd when he shouted freedom just before he was drawn and quartered. I was there. I'm sure I was there. See, the image is so powerful that it's just as if the real thing took place. You've got to remember that. God put that there so that we can walk by faith. So faith is our reality. See, that's why that's there. It's not a bad thing at all. They tested with guys with Rubik's cubes. You know, they asked them to memorize the different colored faces and then turn the cube over in their mind. What they found out, it takes the same amount of time to do it in your mind as actually if you had it in your hands. Okay? I don't know. Can you guys picture, you know, three of the one layer turning on the others? Can you do that? Dr. Mansfield Maltz has observed that the human brain, at its deepest levels, cannot distinguish between actuality and something vividly imagined. You can see how easy it is to drift people to drift into insanity if it doesn't go the right direction. See? They took people who imagined themselves running, and they found that there were small but measurable contractions in the muscles used for running. You know, they're just doing it mentally. They had an alpine ski racer. They hooked him up to an EMG and asked him to, you know, picture running down one of his favorite courses. And it showed it just like he was. I mean, it's the fact that his mind was going through it, everything was going on in his body just as actually if he was running down the course. And really puzzled, though, the guys at the end because the guys that were doing this, because after the race was over, there's a sudden tremendous outburst of energy that showed up in their grasp. They couldn't figure it out until they realized, oh, yeah, the guy had to use a lot of energy to come to a stop. See, I mean, he was actually visualizing that, and the point is, his physiology was reflecting what was going on in his mind. See? So, emotional responses are more, though, than the minuscule muscular contractions. See, you can measure those. But, I mean, a scary movie will give you nightmares. You know, I was talking to George DeWolf tonight, and he said, you know, the fact that he's paralyzed still hasn't soaked through his brain, because in his... in his dreams, he's still walking. And I said, I understand, George. I said, it took me 12 years to get out of organic chemistry. You know, I still had nightmares about missing organic chemistry class. Even though I never missed a class, I still had nightmares about it. See, I mean, a scary movie can just do things, you know. And Terry Kennedy, the catcher for the San Diego Padres, told sports reporters, a lot of you guys don't ask the right questions. They said, well, how'd you feel, you know, when that ball was coming toward you? How'd you feel when it was coming off the bat? He said, no, you ought to ask me what I was thinking about before I ever stepped to the plate. See, those are the questions you should be asking. See, the emotional power of image is so strong that it often overwhelms rational thought, as if you didn't know that. See, cigarette ads, you know, when they used to allow them, you know, the Marlboro Man. You know, now there was a He-Man if there ever was one, right? Of course, they don't show him, you know, hacking, wheezing, and coughing himself to death, you know. The images see overwhelm reality to the extent in 1984, 700 billion cigarettes were sold. See, 400 million in advertising, up to 5.7 billion in 1997. Now they have anti-smoking ads. What do you think those images do? Smoking backed off any much? Little. What do you think is going to happen to the next generation? Imagery, though, see, is more powerful than logic. So you got to remember that. So that's why those images, you got to understand the power of images. That's why you can control the images that come into your brain. What you see is what you get. Visualization requires the use of the right side of the brain. When you turn words or numbers into pictures, you're using your entire brain. See, words and numbers over in the left side, pictures in the right side. When you're doing that, see, you're using your whole brain. That's actually pretty amazing. It's a real art. Frederick von Kekulé, the German chemist who discovered the structure of trimethylbenzene, was relaxing before the fire, and he just had an image of the snake grabbing its own tail. He discovered that this is what the benzene ring... Benzene is what makes fruit flavors. It's very aromatic. Those are called aromatic compounds. Elias Howe did something really important. He invented the sewing machine. See, and he couldn't figure it out. He was just driving himself nuts because he couldn't figure out how to, you know, get the needle and the thread in at the same time. And he had this nightmare of dying, you know, and the natives were coming at him with the spear, and the spear was about ready to kill him. And he looked in his mind, and the spear had a hole. And he said, that's it. See, and so that's why your soul machine, see, he figured it out. See, I mean, your brain's working even when you don't think it is. That's pretty exciting. See, the Wright brothers visualized a big kite. See, and if you ever look at what happened at Kitty Hawk, it wasn't much more than a kite with an engine on it, okay? Hey, it worked, right? So once you develop those visualization techniques, you can deploy them anytime, anywhere. You need to relax before you get up and do communion meditation, you got one. You need to relax before you go to the doctor, you can do it. You need to perform in a moment. You can draw one of those videos up and play it, see? Now, it takes some practice to develop it to that level. But if you're interested in performing, that's what you do. You got to recall the scene. You got to close your eyes to develop it. You got to bring it in one sense at a time. As you become more skilled, you'll be able to visualize even in the distracting environments. I know if I have a tough Bible study, I actually go through mentally ahead of time how I anticipate that that person's going to respond. And I have actually all my materials and everything already with me. Anticipation of how that individual, where I think he's going to go. And usually they do. See, and but so before I go into that, you know, I have certain images that I play for myself and, you know, so that I'm able to perform. Successful athletes understand that mental practice is as vital as physical practice. Jack Nicklaus didn't go to the golf course for every practice session. You know, he did a lot of it mentally. Jean-Claude Keeling was injured and unable to ski before a race. He obtains the film of the giant slalom course. He practiced mentally and he won. Luke was having back troubles when he was in high school. And so he had an aqua jogger. And so he jogged in the pool. He had something wrapped around himself for balance. He never actually practiced on the track. The only time he was on the track is the race. And he visualized the finish and he won every race that year. See, it works. See, the same techniques work with any important performance, including presentations. You can improve your power, your persuasion, like I used an example, by switching sides. Put myself in the other guy's shoes. Pretend in them. Sometimes you visualize the worst possible scenario. If you can deal with it, hey, everything else is going to be a piece of cake. You can use your visualization as a memory jogger. Luke says, my mom. Yeah, you know. Mrs. Wilson is always a really good memory jogger for our family. You know, did you remember this? Did you remember that? She even reminds me of a few things. Well, sometimes it's really thankful. Sometimes I say, wish, you know, you don't need to do that. And then she proves that she does. Okay. Chemistry professor, same thing. So the ultimate power of visualization lies in your self-image. See, people tend to live up or live down to their images of themselves. They did it. Elementary school, they told the teachers that this batch of students were lousy, they're poor students, and that's what the teachers thought they were, and that's how the kids performed. At another random group of students, they told the teachers that these were awesome kids, they were outstanding, they did a great job, and that's what the teachers thought, and that's how the kids performed. I mean, then you can see how it applies individually. Improving self-image is the key to coaching any sport, managing any group of people. See, Jesus building up the church through his word. Keeps telling us over and over again, this is who you are. You are children of God. You're sons of God. You've laid aside the old self with its evil practices. You put on the new self as being renewed according to the image of the one who created him. See, so Ezekiel 37, the resurrected army. See, in the end, what you see is more than what you get. What you see is what you can become. So you've got to practice it.